Like to call to order this meeting of the Goochland County Planning Commission. Ms. Parker, do we have a quorum?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Please rise for the pledge allegiance and remain standing for the invocation.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
God of peace, we invite you to preside over this meeting. Even if we have different opinions, give us the unity of spirit. Help us to each listen politely as others share their points of view. Help us to work as a unified team in combining ideas for a greater outcome. Help us to work as a whole rather than as individuals trying to promote their own agendas. May we have the spirit of camaraderie in this room and work together on our shared mission. Amen.
Amen.
Gentlemen, have you had time to review the minutes?
I have, and I make a motion to approve minutes for the last meeting.
Second.
Motion has been made and properly second to approve the minutes from the last meeting. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. We now open the floor for a citizen comment period. Anyone wishing to come and speak on something that's not on the agenda tonight, please do so. Come forward, state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes. We'll open the floor. Seeing no one, we'll close the citizen comment period. Ms. Parker.
We do have one request to defer, ZOA 2021-00001. Proposed amendment to zoning ordinance section 15262 and 15272, uses and structures permitted by right or by conditional use permit to allow distribution centers in the industrial limited M1 district with a conditional use permit and in the industrial general district as a by right use. Staff requests to defer this item to the August 5th Planning Commission meeting. We do need a motion and a vote.
A motion to defer.
Second.
It's been motioned and properly second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it.
Our first public hearing tonight, item tonight, is in District 3, CU 2021-00004. Application by Goochland County School Board requesting a conditional use permit for an electronic message board sign on 104.35 acres at the Goochland County Middle and High School Complex, located at 3250 River Road West, on tax map 421103T. The applicant seeks 4 special exceptions to the electronic message board sign standards in zoning ordinance section 15416 to allow videos and movement on the screen, to change messages more frequently, to allow a two-sided sign with different displays, and to allow the sign to turn on at 7 a.m. The property is zoned Agricultural Limited A2. The conditional use permit is required by Goochland County Zoning Ordinance, Section 15416, and the special exceptions are requested under 15416B of the Goochland County Zoning Ordinance. The comprehensive plan designates this area as public, county-owned, institutional.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, I'm Jamie Sherry, Director of Community Development. Our first public hearing tonight is by the Goochland County School Board. They're requesting a conditional use permit to have an electronic message board sign located on the middle school, high school complex on River Road West. A public hearing was held for the same sign, with no exception, back on June 3rd of this year. The Planning Commission recommended approval, 5-0. No one spoke at the public hearing. Goochland County School Board revised their application, requesting 4 special exceptions for this sign to the ordinance standards. Since the revisions were beyond the extent of the original public notice and hearing, their application is being considered again by the Planning Commission. As I mentioned, the location of the sign is right here in the Goochland Courthouse at the high school and middle school complex. The comprehensive plan designates this property as public, county-owned, and institutional. The property is zoned A2 with surrounding residential and business zoning to its adjacent to it. From the aerial, you can see the size of the property, which contains both the high school and the middle school. To the west, there is the Holland Hill subdivision, and the surrounding property, other than that, is larger lot residential and farmland. The sign location will be on the northeast corner of River Road West and Bulldog Way. You can see the location of the sign in Exhibit B. Electronic message board signs are allowed in the A2 zoning district with a conditional use permit. Ordinance standards are required unless otherwise approved by the Board of Supervisors through the conditional use permit. The applicant is requesting for exceptions from those standards with this conditional use permit. The following standards are required unless otherwise approved. General requirements include the building and electrical permits and inspections will be required. Sign cannot be located in a manner which could cause confusion with or from other from traffic signals. Messages must be static. No animation, videos, flashing, or scrolling text is permitted. Number two, display. Messages cannot change more than once every minute. Transition between messages can only be black screen or an immediate transition. No flashing, fading, or scrolling of text is permitted. In the event of a malfunction, the display must be changed to a dark screen. If the sign is two-sided, both sides must be displayed, must display the same message. Standard number three, brightness color. Illumination from sign shall not exceed half a foot candle above ambient light at any property line. Lighting cannot shine directly towards a dwelling. Signs are required to have an automatic dimmer and be turned off between the hours of 11 p.m. and sunrise. And prior to sign permit approval, the applicant must provide certification showing compliance with brightness controls. Electronic message board signs. There are two others in the county currently. Reynolds Community College is located on state property, so it was not subject to the county code. And last summer, Salem Baptist Church on Broad Street Road was granted a conditional use permit with one exception. There is another sign on the agenda for tonight, and that's Randolph Elementary School. In reviewing the application, the Planning Commission and Board of Supervisors may consider the following factors as well as other appropriate land use consideration in making their decision. Number one, the proportion of the sign face. Number two, the colors within the message board. Number three, relation to nearby residents. Number four, distance to other electronic message board signs, speed limit and roadway classifications, general character of the area, and the landscaping that would be incorporated in the sign package. As you can see on Exhibit A, this is what the sign will look like. The sign face is approximately 53% of the sign, and the colors that will be on the sign are varied. The general character of the area in relationship to residences. The surrounding area is comprised of single-family residents and farmland. As I mentioned, the Holland Hill subdivision is adjacent to the complex to the west. The closest house is approximately 520 feet away from the sign, and as you can see from the picture, there is screening along Bulldog Way with the evergreen landscaping. The landscaping package. There is no landscaping proposed with this application. The applicant has stated that there is a lack of water source at the corner where the sign is located. Which is why there's no sign, landscaping package. The speed limit and roadway and road classification for River Road West is a two-lane road with a turn lane onto Bulldog Way. River Road West is classified as a major collector, and the speed limit is 55 miles per hour. The speed limit is reduced to 40 miles per hour when the school speed limit sign is flashing. The applicant is proposing an exception that requires message boards to be static, messages to be static with no animation, videos, flashing, or scrolling text. The applicant is proposing this exception in order to allow videos and movement on the screen. The applicant has stated that the purpose of this request is to enhance their messaging for both the middle and high school and to incorporate some of the effects within the sign software. The second exception is to the requirement that messages not change more than once every minute. The applicant is requesting the sign to change once every 10 seconds. The applicant is making this request to provide for a greater efficiency of the messaging and would allow those slowing down to turn into the school to receive more information. Electronic message boards were added during the 2020 zoning rewrite. There were numerous public meetings in coming up with these standards, and staff benchmarked other localities in the area. It was included Henrico, New Kent, Hanover, Powhatan, Fluviana, Albemarle, and Louisa. 1 minute message was somewhere in the middle of where all those other localities, what their standards were. So that's why that was chosen. In July of last summer, as I mentioned, Salem Baptist Church did receive a conditional use permit, and they received an exception that allows their messages to change every 15 seconds. The third proposed exception is the requirement to have a sign that is two-sided, have the same display on each side, displaying the same message. The applicant is requesting the sign to have different messagings on each side of the sign. The existing sign has two different messages on it now. One side is for the high school activities and the other one is for the middle school activities. The applicant is making this request to allow both schools to retain the control of each of the sides of the sign. And finally, the last exception is to the requirement where signs are required to have an automatic dimmer and be turned off at 11 p.m. and sunrise. The applicant is requesting this sign to be allowed to be turned on at 7 a.m. This will align with normal school arrival times, and at certain times of the year, it is dark at 7 a.m., so they wanted to take advantage of the people attending in the morning. A community meeting was held on August 14th. No one from the public attended. Since this application has been made, staff has received no comments on this request. If the commission recommends approval, the following standards are recommended. The first has to do with the use. An electronic message board sign must meet the standards. Number two, the message board design must be consistent with Exhibit A, which is what I presented in the slideshow. The site plan references Exhibit B that shows the location of the sign. And number four is our standard transfer of lease condition, which requires the owner of the property to notify the county and the new owner that these conditions exist. If the Planning Commission recommends approval of any of the requested exceptions, the following conditions are recommended. Number five, display, a static display exception. The applicant is granted the exception to the general requirement standards of the zoning ordinance pertaining to this standard, and it allows messages, that messages must be static, that messages must be static and not contain animation, video, flashing, or scrolling. Messages may contain animation, videos, and scrolling text, but no strobe or flashing lights are allowed, so it would have those limitations on it. Number six, image display exception frequency. The applicant is granted the exception to the display standards. Messages cannot change more than once every minute. The messages cannot change more than once in every 15 seconds. The applicant did request 10 seconds. Staff recommended 15 because it was consistent with what was approved last summer, but you have the authority to change that. Number seven, image display exception, two-sided sign. The applicant is requesting this this exception, and the display would be allowed to have different signs on each, different displays on each side if this was granted. And lastly, brightness control exception. The applicant is granted an exception to the brightness control of the sign that will allow them to turn the sign on at 7 a.m. That completes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions, and the applicant is here to answer questions as well.
I have a question about the moving text. That seemed to be a pretty big issue with the Salem Church when we did that one. Is that something you all are thinking is safe now?
Well, it's not. One of the differences is at Salem, as you recall, there was opposition. There was folks that lived in the area that had concerns with the brightness of the sign and the action and the movement of the sign and how it could disrupt their, you know, their residents. So that is what we took into consideration.
Okay. So did distance of visibility have something to do with that also?
You mean for the Salem's sign?
Well, this one has a lot more distance of visibility. I mean, is it?
Well, I think for this one, perhaps there was the screening of the closest residents with the evergreen, but.
I mean from oncoming traffic.
Oh,
it seems to be when we did the Salem project, that was one of the concerns, was that.
Well, thank you for reminding me of that. Yes, when during the Salem application, if you recall, there was really drastic, steep hills that go up and down, and staff took that into consideration that would more be a hazard for the driver as opposed to the residents around them.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
No questions.
Okay. Thank you.
No other questions?
The applicant.
Yeah. Would the applicant like to come forward?
Good evening, Chairman, members of the Commission. I'm Andy Armstrong, Assistant Superintendent of Administration for Goochland County Public Schools, and I'm joined by Debbie White, our Chief Financial Officer. And I do want to thank you all for reconsidering our application, which includes all the exceptions that we felt we should include as we move forward. And I want to thank also the staff for their support as we compose this for you again this evening. As you can see, this technology that we have is going to be something new in our division at both Randolph and Goochland High School and Middle School. We feel we'll deliver a better experience for our citizens and for our students. They'll be able to actually integrate some of their learning into this as well. So we appreciate your consideration.
Any questions or comments? Thank you.
Thank you.
We now open a public hearing segment of this application. Anyone wishing to come forward and speak for or against, please come forward, state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes. Seeing no one, we'll close the citizen comment period.
My comments are... I guess I have an issue with the animation. The fact that we have the middle school and the high school on opposing sides, I think I'm okay with that exception. I think I'm also okay with the 7 a.m. Opening, and then absolutely no less than the 15 seconds that we've already made an exception for in the Salem case. So I'm okay with two of the exceptions. I'm not.
Not okay with the animation.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, my concern is that, you know, we try to deal with these ordinances uniformly across the county.
Right.
And it kind of gets me a little bit when a government entity comes in and wants to do something that we don't allow private to do, whether it's a garage or a service station or a church or whatever it is. And I don't think they should be allowed. I mean, that they have enough privileges that the public does not enjoy. And I think these four exceptions basically take the sign ordinance and basically throw it away. I mean, if we allow them to do this, then the next group that comes in will want this plus something else. And especially on a highway that's 55 miles an hour, people start, you know, I don't know what the animation and all they plan to do, but I mean, they could be showing highlights of last year's football season on the darn thing. And we don't know, and maybe they don't know yet either. But I think to come in and ask for four exceptions to the sign ordinance that we really had a difficult time drawing up in the first place.
Absolutely.
We took many hours working on that thing, and it was not exactly unanimous across the board. We had to do what the, you know, the courts allowed us to do. No. Intended. So I'm against allowing this kind of thing for most schools because I don't think it's in the public interest, and I don't think it's treating the rest of the county and businesses in a fair manner.
Hey, Tom, I have a question for you. Would you be okay with the sides being different since they are representing two different entities out of all the exceptions?
Right. Well, I don't know how we're going to go through and pick. We got four exceptions here. We have to pick and choose each one of them.
Can we even do that? We can do that.
I'm good with the 15 seconds because it's already been passed. Right. I'm good with the two-sided. And I agree. I think the animation is a non-starter.
Right.
What about the 7 a.m.?
That's fine.
So 7 a.m. and the sides and the 15 seconds. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with it. But the motion, I remember we had severe discussion on that on the other one. So.
Yeah.
Did anyone make a motion?
Can we read the... Can you read back what we're actually voting on there with these exceptions?
Let me just see. So the static display, that one refers to the animation.
Correct.
The image display refers to the 1 minute versus we talked about 15 seconds. The two-sided sign image display exception. And lastly, the brightness control, so which would allow them to start at 7 a.m. Is that clear? Is that how?
We're just striking out.
So we're not going to do the first one, the first exception.
Number five.
That's right. The B1C. Messages must be static, no animation, video, flashing, or scrolling text is permitted.
Correct.
That's going to stay.
Correct.
All right.
I'll make a motion to
change once a minute. We're changing that from 10 seconds to 15 seconds.
That's right.
Correct.
Okay. The two-sided sign, we're allowing them to have a different message on each side.
Correct.
And then the signs required to have an automatic dimmer and turned off between 11 p.m. or as late as business is open and sunrise. I mean, sunrise varies.
Yeah, that's what they're saying is they want to be able to turn it on at 7 a.m.,
right.
even if it's dark at 7 a.m.
Right.
And that's reasonable for a school. I can certainly understand that.
Gentlemen, if it helps, the conditions are numbered, so you'd be approving them all except for condition five.
That's right. Correct. Right. So do we have a motion to approve it all except for number five?
I make a motion to approve except number five.
I'll second.
We have it's been properly motioned and seconded. Any more comments?
I agree with Mr. Rocca Charlie.
Yeah, absolutely. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it.
Our next public hearing item is in District 4, CU 2021-00003, application by Goochland County School Board requesting a conditional use permit for an electronic message board sign on 31.535 acres at Randolph Elementary School, located at 1552 Shepherdtown Road on tax map 441-0460. The applicant seeks 3 special exceptions to the electronic message board sign standards and zoning ordinance section 15416 to allow videos and movement on the screen to change messages more frequently and to allow the sign to turn on at 7 a.m. The property is zoned Agricultural Limited A2. The conditional use permit is required by Goochland County Zoning Ordinance, Section 15416, and the special exceptions are requested under 15416B of the Goochland County Zoning Ordinance. The comprehensive plan designates this area as public, county-owned, institutional.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Mr. Chairman, this presentation that the requirements that are in the ordinance are very similar to the presentation I just made. I'm going to run through the presentation with the specifics that are to the school and to the specific exceptions, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Okay. So the Goochland County School Board is making a request for a message board sign at Randolph Elementary School, which is located on Shepherdtown Road. As I had mentioned before, this had been heard, and they are requesting 3 exceptions with this request. The property is located on Shepherdtown Road, right off of Caldwell Road, which is located in the middle southeastern portion of the county. The property is identified by the comprehensive plan as public institutional county-owned property. The property is zoned A2, as is all the surrounding property around it. Here is an aerial photograph of the property. As you can see, there are large lot residential and farming land surrounding the property. The location of the sign, as you can see from Exhibit B, it will be located off of Shepherdtown Road, actually on a parking island within the parking lot, but it will be visible from Shepherdtown Road, but mostly for folks who are entering the school lot. I've already mentioned that this is allowed. The general requirements are the same as were in the last presentation. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to stop. Mentioned the part about Reynolds and the factors that need to be taken into account, and that's where I'll start. Exhibit A shows what the sign will look like. The sign is a one-sided sign. As I mentioned, it will be placed in the parking lot. Colors will vary, and the size of the face is approximately 36% of the sign. The closest residences to the sign are 475 approximate feet from the sign, as you can see from the picture on the presentation. Landscaping, no landscaping is proposed with this package. No landscaping package is being proposed. The applicant has stated that the ground surface is not conducive for landscaping. I think it's gravel, is what they've told me. Speed limit on Shepherdtown Road. It's a two-lane road and is classified as a local road with a 40-mile-per-hour speed limit. The exceptions that they are asking for is for the exception to allow videos and movement on the screen. The reasoning is the same as with the other application. They want to take advantage of the sign package. Messages cannot change more than once every minute. They are requesting 10 seconds as they did with the other application. That was the process upon which we went through to come up with the 1 minute. Their third exception is requesting that the dimmer be allowed, that the sign be allowed to be turned on at 7 a.m. Community meeting was held. No one attended this community meeting, and we've received no comments. The uses are very similar. They will be required to follow the remaining standards. The electronic message board must be similar to Exhibit A. The location must be similar to Exhibit B. And then again, our transfer of lease condition. The exceptions that they are asking for, if you do want to approve this with the condition. Staff makes following recommendations. This is the same, number five, allowing them to have animation but no strobe or flashing lights. Number six pertains to the image display. Staff is recommending 15 seconds to be consistent with what has been approved in the past. And brightness control, the sign may be turned on at 7 a.m. And that was kind of quick, but if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Yeah.
Would the applicant like to come forward and speak on this one?
Well, I'd like to thank the commission again, and I can't understand the discussion around the signs. I can assure you all that just as with this Randolph sign, with the Goochland High Middle sign, we don't intend for this to be a TV set on a sign on the road. However, we know that in your seat, you're making decisions for posterity. And while when we're long gone from our jobs, we know that you're making decisions for years to come. So I do appreciate your consideration. The Randolph sign will be a one-sided sign, different than the middle high school sign. And if I can answer any questions further, I'd be happy to now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now open the floor for the citizen comment. Anyone wishing to speak for or against, please come forward, state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes. Seeing no one, we'll close the citizen comment period.
I think, to be fair, we have to give the same explanation for refusing to allow the static as an exception and go with the 15 seconds and starting on at 7 a.m.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. So make a motion then to approve but to deny exception number five.
I'll second.
It's been motioned and properly seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. Ms. Parker.
Our next public hearing item is in District 4, CU 2011-00002A, application by JNE Enterprises, LLC, trading as CarNet, requesting renewal of a conditional use permit, CU 2011-00002, for automobile and motor vehicle sales on 1.973 acres at 12642 Broad Street Road, on tax map 591010. The property is owned Business General B1. The conditional use permit is required by Goochland County Zoning Ordinance, Section 15242. The comprehensive plan designates this area as commercial.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Members of the Commission, Tom Coleman, Principal Planner. As Ms. Parker said, this is an application to renew a CUP to allow automobile and motor vehicle sales. This is located in the eastern portion of the county. The subject property is zoned commercially. It is located pretty close to the intersection of Route 288 and Broad Street. There's some agricultural zoning to the rear, some residential zoning to the west, and then some commercial zoning to the east across 288. Look at the comprehensive plan. The subject property and all the surrounding properties are recommended for commercial and use in the comprehensive plan. Looking at the aerial photo, you sort of see the building and the site. The site's to the north and west. While they're recommended for commercial use, they're currently undeveloped, but this site and the site between it and Route 288 are developed. A little bit about the site. Floor Trader operates a retail flooring store on the property. The building is approximately 20,000 square feet in size and includes retail, office, and warehouse space. It does include extra office space towards Broad Street Road that the Floor Trader does not utilize. In a J&E Enterprises, which trades as CarNet, leases about 300 square feet of office space. They originally attained approval for a CUP to operate automobile sales in 2011. They also received a plan of development in 2011 for that use. The Board of Supervisors adopted an amendment in 2017 that sort of expanded the auto sales use to also allow motor vehicles. So with this request, we're also allowing the sale of automobiles and motor vehicles with approval of the CUP. And that is intended to allow the sale of the larger vehicles. It said this would be to for the sale of used cars and motor vehicles. Is it administrative office only at this location? They indicated they do advertise on the internet and show their vehicles by appointment. There are no cars stored inside the building. No repairs take place on the property. And with these auto sales uses, their DMV permitting requires them to provide at least 10 parking spaces on the site. What I have on the screen is the site plan that was approved with the POD in 2011. What's shown in, or what is labeled in red in the Carnot area, that's where they keep their vehicles. And the area in blue, in that blue rectangle, that's where they provided additional parking so that the entire site would continue to meet their parking requirements. That was previously sort of a gravel, grass area, but they paved it and put marked parking spaces on it. There was a community meeting in May. Mr. Spoonhauer from the board attended. No one from the public attended. There were no concerns obviously expressed, and there have not been any additional public comments subsequent to that community meeting. With the conditions, we have the black line conditions. For the most part, these are just housekeeping changes, sort of changing the language to our more contemporary language. We did add one condition as it relates to signs and attention-getting devices. But the first one would allow the use on the property. The second one would limit them to no more than 10 vehicles at this location. And the vehicles would have to be stored in the appropriately designated area. The third one would not allow any repair or storage of any parts or materials outside. The fourth one would extend the approval, if it's approved, for 15 years. That fifth one is, condition number five, is the new condition that sort of limits, perhaps, the attention-getting devices as it relates to automobile sales. And then the last one is our standard transfer lease condition if the property is sold or leased. And that completes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thank you, Tim. Is the applicant here and would like to come forward?
Hello.
Good evening.
My name is Megan Sarah. I'm here representing Jody Crown. I'm the office manager and one of the other sales representatives.
Okay.
Any questions for you? Anything I can help y'all with?
No questions?
Nothing substantially has changed.
No.
Just business as usual.
Yep, okay. It is.
Just want to continue doing what you've been doing.
Sure do.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We now open the floor for a public hearing. If you have anyone wishing to speak for or against, please come forward, state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes. Seeing no one, we'll close the citizen comment period. Gentlemen, what say you?
I think it's business as usual, pretty simple, and I think that I'd like to make a motion for approval for the renewal of the CUP with the recommended conditions.
Second.
Any other comments? It's been motioned and properly second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have. Ms. Parker.
Our last public hearing item tonight is in District 5, CU 2006-00001A. Application by Hope Church, requesting amendment to conditional use permit CU 2006-00001 to operate a restaurant on 35.983 acres at 12445 Patterson Avenue on tax map 641-048A. The property is owned Agricultural Limited A2. The conditional use permit is required by Goochland County Zoning Ordinance Section 15-112. The comprehensive plan designates this area as semi-public.
Again, thank you, Ms. Parker. Tom Coleman, Principal Planner. As Ms. Parker mentioned, this is a renewal of a previously approved CUP. It was approved for a place of worship, and they are proposing to add a restaurant use at this location. This is located in the southeastern portion of the county. The subject property is zoned agriculturally. There are residentially zoned properties really along the western, or excuse me, the southern boundary of the property, and properties to the west are zoned commercial, and there are commercial uses there. And properties to the north, inclusive industrial zoning, agricultural zoning, they're associated with West Creek Parkway and another place of worship on the north side of Patterson Avenue. Looking at the comprehensive plan, that sort of reflects the zoning uses in the area. Again, to the south, there are areas that are recommended for residential use in the comprehensive plan. To the west, there's some recommendations for residential and commercial use. And then across Patterson Avenue, that would include prime economic development and semi-public use also. Look at the area photo. I have some more area photos to show you that I'll go in a little more detail, sort of describing the subject property and some of the surrounding uses. A little bit of a background on the existing CUP. It was approved for the church in 2006. A number of PUDs and COAs have been approved for the site to accommodate the building and parking lot expansions over time. The Hope Church property is about 36 acres and includes three main buildings. That would include the main church and sanctuary, which is where the restaurant is proposed to be located, also a youth center and an office building on the site. The site has a lot of parking, sufficient parking, you know, for a large place of worship. Going back to one of the aerial photos, this highlight a couple of things on the site. You can sort of see where the layout of the site is, and there's quite a bit of green space on the site. One thing that is not apparent from looking at it, is the property is sort of undulating and rolling. It's not flat. Obviously, that's not going to be reflected in the aerial photo. So a lot of those green areas would include areas that you know, would be less difficult to develop and sort of show how the property is developed. I sort of highlighted the fact that they have three entrances on the Patterson Avenue, including the central access is signalized at West Creek Parkway. And then the hashed area to the back reflects the residential uses. And the next aerial photo, kind of zoom in, showing sort of the rear of the property. Again, looking at the location of the Hope Church facilities, they are located to the southern end of their site. What is shown in blue, the main building, and there's a dumpster there, and then that 140 measurement will show up later in the presentation, so just note 140 feet is shown there. There's also a buffer that runs along the perimeter of the site that's typically about 65 feet, but at its closest point is 25, so it is variable width from 25 to 65 feet. And it's a green buffer with trees and shrubs, and there's a fence within that buffer area. And then looking at the Rivergate side, again, you see the proximity of the dwellings to the property line. The church, the residential properties do abut the church property, and just showed some of the measures of the closest buildings. Typically, these houses appear to be the closest in range from about 200 to 280 feet from the Hope Church property. Just a floor plan. The proposed changes are to the interior of the building, and that would include providing some seating to accommodate the proposed restaurant use.
Where is the restaurant on that line?
Yeah, that would be the seating area that would be associated with the restaurant area.
And the cooking and all is where?
I'm sorry?
The cooking?
Kitchen.
I didn't identify the kitchen on there. I would maybe direct that to the applicant to pinpoint where the kitchen facilities are on that floor plan. As far as we get into the proposed use, they are proposing to operate a coffee shop and a cafe. We, for zoning purposes, we consider that a restaurant use, so you know, we're considering restaurant use at this location. There would be no exterior modifications to accommodate the new use. They are proposing some interior modifications. They would include upgrading their kitchen to commercial equipment specifications, enhancing the concourse to address the look and feel of the proposed use, and then adding furniture to accommodate up to 75 guests. There would not be no site work would be required to operate the restaurant. You know, it's already designed to handle the church facility. The church occupancy is approved for about 1,800 people. So the interior changes to accommodate this restaurant use could be, you know, if the CUP were approved, that could be handled through the county's normal permitting processes. There was a community meeting held in May. Supervisors Mr. Peterson and Mr. Spoonhauer attendance, and also Commissioner Mr. Myers was there, and about 10 citizens. There were a number of concerns that were raised that included things such as the hours of operation, increased traffic, odor from food and trash, outdoor seating noise from customers and music, dumpsters that could attract rodents and would be unsightly, additional signage. The concern that as proposed for a small restaurant, it could grow into a larger operation, and just overall more activities, and people would be, the addition of the activities and additional people would be disruptive to the abutting neighborhood. Since the community meeting, the county staff has received a number of letters. 8 of those have been opposed and 1 in favor of the request. Now, as I get into the conditions, again, we've refreshed some of the language to reflect our more contemporary language. The intent of the conditions, though, is this is, keeping in mind that this is an amendment to the church CUP. We're trying not to impact the church operations, but we are trying to regulate the restaurant activity as it's proposed. So there is an attempt not to impact the church with these, the underlying church approval with these proposed conditions. So the first set of conditions would apply to both activities, both the restaurant and the church. And a lot of these reflect conditions that were approved in 2006 with the original approval, switching them from a shall do to sort of a shall maintain type approach. But the first one is that they would shall retain their buffer along the Rivergate subdivision, and that shall maintain the landscaping that was approved with that. The second one would require that any lighting be shielded and directed downward, and that the lighting light pole should not exceed 25 feet. The third one addresses a stream buffer. The fourth one would have them to continue to adhere to their conceptual plan for the site. The fifth one limits their building area, building square footage that would be accepted on the site or allowed on the site. The sixth one would require them to have a fence along their property line, as we sort of in that buffer area shown earlier. And the seventh one addresses the potential transfer or lease of the property, and sort of reflects our standard condition. The eighth one is a new one, as it applies to the place of worship, but that simply says that a place of worship may be operated subject to the previous conditions that we went over. Now we're getting into the conditions that are proposed with the restaurant activity. The first one would allow the use, restaurant use on the property. Number 10 would limit the occupancy to 75. Number 11 would limit any outdoor seating for the restaurant to be limited to existing patio areas. The 12th one would limit the hours of operation, which, as I understand it, is consistent with the Hope Church hours of operation. The 10, that one would prohibit a commercial hood ventilation system being installed. I think that would be helpful in preventing odors that might be associated with the restaurant. So while they would have commercial equipment, they would not have a commercial hood to ventilate that system. The fourth one, for outdoor music, as it relates to the restaurant, during restaurant hours, that they would have no subwoofers and any amplification of sound, no music amplified or acoustic music would be plainly audible beyond the property line of the boundary, and that's as it relates to the restaurant use. The number 15, it says that any dumpsters being used for restaurant waste would be surrounded by an opaque fence and would be located at least 140 feet from the adjacent property. That's that 140 feet that I showed you earlier reflects where the existing dumpster is, so it means they wouldn't be allowed to put any dumpsters closer than that one. And then the last one would be the typical recommendation for a 5-year approval if the CUP is approved. And that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Do you know where this is? It's not a private restaurant. It's just a service to congregation members? Or?
No, this would be a restaurant open to the public.
Okay.
So are they requiring us to approve additional signage for that on Patterson Avenue?
Any signage would be regulated by our sign ordinance.
Okay.
Subject to health department inspection and all if it's a restaurant?
I mean, if they were to submit their permitting as a part of that permitting review, the health department would have to review it because they would review it as a restaurant use.
As a restaurant.
This is a for-profit outfit, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say open to the public.
Right.
And, you know, if questions like for-profit, I would guess defer to the church to answer that.
Okay. But
they're contracting with a private company to do this, I would assume.
Yeah, we're considering this a restaurant use open to the public, and they would have to get permitting for that. And those how other decisions they make on how they operate it, it wouldn't be, you know, we wouldn't be governing that.
Well, it's a commercial kitchen, and they're going to have a commercial hood.
Well, there's various types of this commercial refrigeration, there's commercial dishwashing, there's right. probably a variety of cooking equipment. The hood and discussing that with the building official, you know, they were comfortable that that is a restriction. And again, whatever they want to change would have to be reviewed and approved by the health department and the building official.
Dishwasher and three compartment sink.
Well, I can't get into details of what they would be required, but they'd indicated they wanted to upgrade the equipment. So, and their upgrading of the equipment, I think we would be supportive of that, except for installing a hood ventilation system. We would not support that if these conditions were approved, or if that condition was approved.
That was specifically to address the complaint of neighbors and odors.
The complaint?
The hood exception was...
No, I mean, when I think of a hood, I'm thinking of odors. If you pass by a restaurant and you smell, I think the hood is venting that. Right. So I think we are attempting to at least eliminate an odor associated with it. And they would be expected to operate their kitchen in a manner that doesn't require a hood.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Would the applicant like to come forward?
Thank you all. I'm David Dwight. I'm the pastor at Hope Church, and we really appreciate your consideration for our amendment tonight as we're hearing it. I wondered if I could just share a little bit of kind of the heart behind this. So the idea here is a cafe coffee shop. We understand that it's classified as a restaurant. This is a cafe, coffee shop kind of thing. Food preparation would be microwave, small convection type of ovens. So the idea is about food preparation in a larger restaurant type of scenario. Wouldn't really apply in the kind of food that we would be doing here. The vast majority of what's happening here is serving coffee. So the idea behind it is that it's trying to provide a place for people to be together, particularly coming out of the COVID type of environment. There are lots of people that are looking for a place where they can meet with friends or they can sit with a computer, do some work in a remote working kind of situation, not feel the pressure of being in a commercially driven environment where there's a sense of, can you turn over your table now? We've got to accommodate more people and more customers. The idea is to try to create a place, a welcoming place that really becomes a ministry that accommodates and welcomes people in. That's the heart of it. In our times, I think probably everybody in the room is aware these days of the isolation, loneliness, depression, anxiety. So the heart of this is a ministry that welcomes people in and tries to create a place. So some people might say, well, there's Starbucks around. People could do that for coffee shop experiences, and we appreciate that too. That's a commercially driven kind of environment. It's an anonymous kind of an experience. It's table turnover and moving people through. The heart of this is we'd like it to break even. Commercial profits, business generation, growing a business and that sort of thing is very far from the heart of what we're trying to accomplish. We're just trying to create a place that enables people to find a place that's warm and welcoming and personal, and it serves good coffee, and it creates a space where they can be together with people. Just a couple of thoughts, I think, that hopefully could be helpful. This is completely indoors, so yes, perhaps somebody could take their coffee out on one of our patios, but the design and the way it's all set up is completely indoors. So it wouldn't have new noise outside. It wouldn't have people all around our campus. It's a completely indoor situation that is within our current square footage. We're not looking or asking for construction of additional square footage. So we are very appreciative of our Rivergate neighbors. We moved into the building. That was the first of our buildings in 2008. We've sought to work the very best way we can to accommodate their concerns. The conditions that are being recommended as part of this amendment are very much an engagement from our standpoint to try to say we appreciate the concerns that the neighbors may have, and we want to try to work with them and try to come up with a way to do this that addresses their concerns as well. So I think that covers most of the thought and the heart of it. But mostly what I want people to know is the heart of this is that it's a ministry to create a place that welcomes people in. It would be open to people. Our church is open to the public. Anybody who wants to come to our church can come to our church, and we're glad they do. And so this, too, is consistent with that kind of ministry heart. So that would be sort of sharing a bit of more information about it.
Who would own and operate the cafe?
We originally talked about whether this would be something we could do ourselves, but we felt that we didn't have the expertise to do this well. And so there are members of our church who are business owners who own some restaurants in the Richmond area, and they're members of our church. And a conversation developed about, would you all be interested in doing this in terms of outsourcing the management and running this coffee shop? So that it would be done that way by a business that runs some restaurants in Richmond. So the restaurants are, you may be familiar with Toast, the Toast restaurants. There's one here over on Robius, and then there's one down in the Tuckahoe area.
So this entity that runs the restaurant would be a for-profit business?
We have agreed in conversations with them that it's very important that they understand that this is not commercially driven. We would like it to break even. We could underwrite it with ministry funds if it doesn't break even. And if it's doing well and it's meeting people's needs and proving to be a meaningful ministry, we will underwrite it to a reasonable degree. So their heart is not that it is a commercially driven thing. These are folks who are members of our church. They embrace, and we've talked very soberly with them, that this is a ministry. And so that's sort of the feel of the discussions.
So would the business be paying gross receipts tax to Goochland County?
No, we're out of my league on this. I've got colleagues who could answer that.
Some of the concerns from the citizens.
Yes.
The cafe would be paying. All right. And then would you be serving alcohol in the cafe?
No.
Okay. All right. And then I think one of the other commissioners asked about signage. Would there be any future signage, Mr. Patuck?
Do you plan on putting signs out on Patterson to identify you have a coffee shop? Or
I would have to say I don't know the answer to that. I would imagine yes, and one of my colleagues can address that. We certainly understand the stipulations about sign usage.
Also, are your normal church operations till 9 p.m.? Is that a daily occurrence? Or
we have Bible studies, we have recovery groups, and other people like that who may be there, say, come for a 7 o'clock meeting, and
okay.
So, yes.
Thank you.
That's ongoing, though. At this point, people are there till 9 o'clock a lot of nights.
Frequently.
Yes.
Yes.
How do you think that might impact some of the other, I guess, existing businesses in the area? We have some family businesses in Goochland that have cafes with mm-hmm. shops that serve coffee, and just over the Henrico line.
Yeah. I don't know specifically. We have a feeling that this is kind of a niche kind of a situation. It doesn't present itself in the normal way a commercial business does. It's not located in the normal way a commercial business is located. I think it's going to be for people who find this setting to be appealing. For instance, St. Stephen's Church, which is down on Grove Avenue, has a cafe. And there are a lot of people who say it's simply the setting there that feels peaceful and welcoming, and this is what makes it a special place for me. So we're hoping that people who would be drawn to that kind of setting might be, but I think it's a niche and rather distinct from normal commercial environments.
Would this be commercially advertised or something you just advertise through your church?
I think we would address the question of signage. We're not looking to, like, create this sweep the county kind of business.
Right.
We're looking to create a place that welcomes people in. We suspect that the vast majority of the use of it will be our church members.
Absolutely.
That it'll be a place where they like to meet and they invite friends and they meet with friends. We suspect that that would be the vast majority of it. But the heart is to welcome anybody who would like it.
You understand the concern, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would imagine that your existing signage meets the county code and no more signage could be added. Is that right, Tom? You're only allowed one sign.
Yeah, there. One piece of information, the number of signs that they're permitted is regulated by the zoning district. This is in the overlay district, so if they were to if they're allowed and apply for any additional signage, they would have to get that a COA approved for that.
So they could have more signs. Maybe. If it'll
happen, yeah, I mean, I think, yes.
Okay. How are you going to limit the occupancy to 75? I'm looking at these the conditions that we're proposing. I'm just wondering how you're going to do that.
I think our expectation is that normally this would have 8 to 10 people in it. If it was really busy, it might have 20. So we have a hard time seeing that it would have 75 people in it. I suppose if it did and we were operating within these hours, we would have to address the fact that we're full.
You don't plan on playing any outdoor music or allowing any outdoor music?
This is not a worship or a concert outdoor venue. It's completely contained indoors within our building.
The condition for music really doesn't apply because you're not going to have any.
It's a completely contained indoor situation. So, for instance, could we have a Friday night where we had somebody playing the guitar and we have people there for coffee and it's completely indoors? I think that's possible. I want to be honest and forthcoming about that.
Well, this is outdoor music.
If there was outdoor music, it could be something that was played on a speaker that's, call it ambient music, that's mm-hmm. part of the atmosphere, but we would certainly be willing to comply with any decibel concerns.
Do you already have ambient music playing?
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. Not outdoors.
You're not projecting it outdoors?
No. Our patio that would be a place where people would sit if it was outdoors is contained within two walls and it faces southwest in a fully away from our Rivergate neighbors.
I'm still concerned about this hood deal because I've designed hundreds and hundreds of kitchens and while I'm in churches and they're a full-blown commercial kitchen. Three compartment sinks, hoods, gas ranges, refrigerators. I mean, it's not just a coffee pot and a microwave. And I think that's a whole different ball game. So you have to understand that the coffee pot microwave deal is what you would basically be restricted to, that kind of an operation.
I think we'd be fine with that. When we applied for the construction of our original building, the question about the kitchen that would be in the building was part of those conversations, and this very question arose. Our current kitchen, a church kitchen, but on Sundays before COVID with a lot of people, is serving a lot of people, but it has refrigerators, it has some stoves that are electric top stoves, and it has some microwaves. So there isn't anything commercial. There's no cooking, no frying, none of that sort of thing.
You could use that same kitchen for this operation?
We would modify it somewhat, but we are not looking to create a commercial cooking environment.
I'm sorry.
Thank you all. If I could add just a little bit to it.
Your name and address, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Grant Hayes. I work with Hope Church. I live in the city of Richmond. If you need my, do you need my address? Oh, 3501 Moss Side Avenue.
Thank you.
The notion behind the commercial kitchen is that in order to operate a commercial, in order to operate the restaurant as it is drawn up in the ordinances, we have to operate some elements of the kitchen with commercial units, so commercial dishwashing, commercial refrigeration, and so on. The limitation of not having a commercial hood is going to essentially, it's designed to restrict the type of food that we can prepare in the kitchen. So most of what we'd prepare would be off-site, prepackaged, brought to the location, and warmed rather than cooked. To avoid any sort of, you know, any of the current concerns that are out there about, you know, air pollution and so on and so forth. So does that answer a little bit more the commercial?
So all the cooking is basically off-site.
Essentially, yes, sir.
Thank you for that clarification.
Sure.
Any more questions?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Now open the floor to the citizen public hearing. Come forward, state your name and address. If you wish to speak for or against, you'll have 3 minutes to do so.
Gentlemen, Ms. Jackson, my name is Jack Gates. I live at 13254 Barwick Lane in the Rivergate subdivision adjacent to Hope Church. We purchased lot number 30, 2.3 acres in 2003 as we planned to move back home to Virginia. After a second retirement from Century Aluminum, my first one was Reynolds Metal Company for 33 years. Our lot has exactly 277 feet bordering the church, Hope Church property, so we definitely are considered a close neighbor to the church. We built our forever home in Goochland County, anticipating a long, quiet, peaceful retirement. Several years later to our surprise, a church had purchased the 30 acres. We thought it was great to have a church located behind us. My wife and I are longtime Southern Baptists. We've attended church regularly for 61 years. We both are deacons and I teach Sunday school, so we're not anti-church and we're sure not anti-faith, and we serve our Lord. I knew that someday somebody would buy that property behind me, but I thought, well, don't know when it'll be. Maybe I'll be dead and gone by then. But I anticipated it could be a business or maybe a strip mall. That scared me. So when I heard that a church had bought it, I thought, great, a church behind us. That's great. They'll be great neighbors. We've always tried to be good neighbors to the church, although sometimes it didn't feel like the feeling was mutual. As I stated in my email that I sent to each of you, there have been numerous incidents that required us to complain to the church. I can say without hesitation, they always listened to our problem, but it never stopped happening. Now the church is requesting the county to change their conditional use permit to allow a for-profit restaurant operate 6 or 7 days from the early hours of 6 a.m. to the late hours of 9 p.m. In my opinion, they are not being perfectly honest in their CPU requests when they refer to it as a coffee shop. In their own executive summary, phase one is to accommodate between 50 and 75 guests. Phase two states we see the project becoming more successful and plan to invest more heavily in the refresh of our concourse. Now, I spent 40 years in industry, and this new word, refresh, it bothers me a little bit. But it seems to mean bigger and better. But when you say it's a small, and we were led to, initially, it's just a small coffee shop, don't worry about it. It's not a coffee shop, it's a restaurant. And I hear that they're only talking about 8 to 10 people. They already serve coffee and cookies all the time. So this is just an addition to that. So they've got the ability to do exactly what they're asking for right now with coffee and cookies. My question to this committee is, how many coffee shops do you know in Goochland County that operate 6 or 7 days a week from 6 in the morning to 9 at night and can accommodate 75 people and have plans to expand? Now that's not a small coffee shop. That's a major restaurant. They told us in a recent meeting they indicated to be used for events including weddings and funerals, etc. Etc. scares me. That's pretty open-ended.
Time.
You've used your 3 minutes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Karen Burson, and I live at 13266 Apton Court in Rivergate, Lot B26. And my property abuts Hope Church and by 218 feet. And as I was coming here, I was thinking, oh gosh, the church is a sanctuary. My home is a sanctuary. They have fun. Their fun is a little more louder than my fun at my home. But I think that we, you know, would like to, you know, our fun and our sanctuary does not have to be mutually exclusive. And we want to be a good neighbor to Hope. We want them to be a good neighbor to us. Coming off of the last year and a half, I have big awareness that we had such a pleasant, peaceful time in our backyard. And now we are coming back. And there's a couple of things that I want to be sure that I get into before the time runs out. There's been a lot of noise, and we're coming into a situation where we're presented with this CUP that makes me believe that it's going to be even more noise. So I'm sure other people will get to other things. Let me tell you about a situation on Tuesday night, this same week, two days ago. We were in our backyard trying to have a cookout. There were loud noise, music. I could sing along with the music. There was announcements. There was an air horn going off every 2 to 3 minutes. They were having a relay race over at the church with the children or the youth, and it looked like a lot of fun because I went over and I had to look at it. I'm like, what the heck is happening? There were poles. I don't know how far the poles went up, but on those poles were two speakers. And they probably are just not aware of like what they're doing. They're wanting to have their fun, a little unaware of what is happening with their neighbors. Anyway, this is not an isolated event. This happens multiple times a week outside of COVID, and there's a major impact to our enjoyment of our backyard. I understand that there's proffers that exist for the current noise controls. I don't see those being followed. I personally have not made any complaints, so perhaps it's on me not to have expressed my concern to Hope Church that they are keeping me from being able to enjoy my backyard. In addition to the noise, the lights. I can see the parking lot lights in the winter when the trees have dropped their leaves, but I can see the lights from headlights coming into their parking lots all throughout the year. I can also see cars traveling on the driveway behind the building that go back and forth between the lodge and the main building. I see that in my backyard. I see that through the windows in my house.
Time.
I might mention to you were talking about complaining. All these restrictions are complaint driven. It's up to the citizens to make the complaint. The county doesn't go out and do it, so just so you know that.
I'm going to read really fast. I appreciate you. My name is Leanne Smullen. I live at 13268 Apton Court in the Rivergate subdivision, lot B25. My entire backyard spans the property of the adjoining Hope Church. And for the record, my property shares 322 feet of the property lines. It's my entire backyard. Unfortunately, this means that my home sits at the apex of the funneling of the noise, traffic, lighting, and other nuisances created by Hope Church since their construction. I come before you this evening to ask that you deny the application for the CUP to operate a restaurant on the property. I'm a registered nurse in the emergency department at St. Mary's Hospital, and I pride myself on my work and dedication to the community that I serve. And I appreciate the ability to live in Rivergate and own my own home. When I purchased my home in December of 2009, the sole reason I chose this area was because of the quiet location that it offered. I'm a single mother of two boys, and I appreciate the peace and quiet. It was of utmost importance to me. Since the construction of the church, I can honestly stand here tonight and say that I very rarely enjoy the peace and quiet that was once offered to me. My home and my yard have never been the same. I'd like to offer you a couple pictures of the lighting that occurs every night. My home is illuminated like a stadium, and it's unfortunate. I have complained to Hope Church many times. as Ms. Burson stated earlier, the choice to sit on my deck and enjoy my family barbecues is no longer. We have to move inside where the noise and nuisances continue and it resonates in my whole home. In 2006, the CUP was granted by the ward, and it clearly states that it would not be injurious to the enjoyment of the other property in the immediate vicinity. Article 8 on the subsequent page said that they would comply with the standards in the noise ordinance. None of these stipulations have ever been adhered to by Hope Church, and it's my fear that granting the permission for the operating of a restaurant will just continue the noncompliance to a greater degree. I have concerns about traffic, noise, lighting, very, very loud commercial kitchens, if that's what's to go on. The forecasted proposal of weddings and events, I just can't see that my home would ever be the same. The devaluation of property, significant devaluation of property, agriculturally zoned property, unsightly signage, things that we talked about earlier. Many evenings I've just had to remove ourselves from our backyard to come inside where the music and the loud noises and the lighting is still resonating in my home. I respectfully ask the board to deny the request to protect our county and to consider the probable effect of the proposed use on the peace and enjoyment of the people and their own dwellings as laid out by the duties of the Planning Commission. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Lawrence Cohen. I'm at 13252 Barwick Lane. And I also have 344 feet of footage that's adjacent to the church. I have a couple of audios. One was an evening on June 19th. The other was, it was a morning on June 19th. The other one was an evening. We can play both of them. But this was taken inside my house with my screen door open. And there's probably 3 acres separating us. Now, this prevented me from sitting out there that morning. We can go to the other one so we don't waste time. There are subwoofers. I heard they're not going to be subwoofers. These are speakers that are mounted on poles, and that's what I'm hearing. And it prevents me from enjoying my backyard. Now, this was a couple of nights ago. It's not as intense. You may hear, I think there's a horn. That's the horn. So then that's enough. So basically, that's what we have to deal with in this community. And it's not every day. But if you're going to make a restaurant, a commercial restaurant, that's open from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m., with 50 to 75 people, i.e. also cars, with the light pollution, and that is going to be magnified on a daily basis. It's going to be magnified from what you just heard. The other thing I'm concerned about is the light situation. We have, especially in wintertime, I have lights coming into my home, into my great room because of the parking lot. Well, the parking lot's going to be more full than it is now. So that's another concern. Other reasons I feel that this should be denied, we talked about the dumpster situation. No matter where, I have restaurants in Virginia Beach. No matter where the rest of the dumpsters are, there will be more rodents. There will be more pollution. And we really don't know where this is going to end as far as this is phase one. Where's phase two going to be? Are we going to be looking at other things like weddings, funerals, catered events that are there? That's going to be something like this on a daily basis. This is not just indoors. This is outdoors. When we were at our meeting, they showed an outdoor area, and there was quite a bit of seating there that people will be eating and playing music.
Time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, Chairman and Committee members. My name is Ileana Schulman, and I live at 13256 Barwick Lane in the Rivergate subdivision. My property adjoins Hope Patterson Campus, and I share over 250 feet with the church. I'm right behind the church. And when we purchased the home in 2014, it was the understanding that my immediate neighbor behind my house was a church, not a center for retail activities. I attended the May meeting, and the presentation was very different than what the applicant presented to the committee today. We were told that an independent third party would run a retail restaurant out of the church property to cater to the RVA community at large, with a special emphasis on focusing on local West Creek business community and the Patterson traffic to and from 288. This is not cookies and coffee. They presented us with an executive summary where they laid out a phase one and a phase two, and where they see this going. I have this here if the committee wants to see it, as well as their venture with local restaurant owners to create a sister brand to Toast, which is roast. I can have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and late snacks. This is a restaurant. It is not a ministry to their visitors and to their church members. And I have this here as well. As we know, you can run a business and not have profit. You take it out by salaries. So it's misleading to say we're not a commercial activities because we're not going to make money. We're going to break even. But your professional restaurant operators are making a living. They're drawing money. So that's a play on words, and it's very misleading. I concur with the experience with the noise is outrageous. I can't sit in my patio. I can't invite guests to my patio. This last weekend, I walked out of my door, turned around, and came back in. I didn't move to Goochland County for that. So it's, and again, it's very misleading. It's gonna make the noise situation worse. They showed us an outside patio where they would use it for their restaurant facilities. We will face increased traffic in the parking lot, which abuts my property and those of my neighbors. I don't think there's a compelling reason for the county to allow the church to operate under the guise of a ministry, a retail business. I like having the church. I thought that was a plus. It's been a nightmare. And on top of that, now to watch them run a restaurant with signage, that's not church activities. That's not a kitchen incidental to church activity. That's a full-blown retail activity. And for them to say they want to break even, they'll fund it. Professional restaurant owners, even church members, you're going to work for free? And this notion that they don't make any profit, you pull it out as salaries. They'll be compensated. It's worth a deal.
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, and thank you for hearing us. I'm Rob Allen, 13253 Barwick Lane. Sorry, I'm a little bit angry over some of the things we've heard. I'm going to read quickly. I've moved my family from the overdeveloped short pump area to Goochland County 5 years ago. We purchased a lot in Rivergate and built our home to raise our children, eventually retire and relax together. Peacefully. We've heard peacefully. There's a target to be peaceful. We wanted to be peaceful in our home and on our patio. In the peace and quiet of rural living, yet close to the hustle and bustle of Richmond, we know that things are close by to get there. We selected Rivergate because of its privacy and relative seclusion to avoid the noise and light pollution of more developed areas. Our home does not border the property of Hope Church. We are across the road from the other neighbors that you've heard from. We love our home, community, and neighbors. I also hope that my home will retain its value as a residential property located in such an attractive area. Since moving into Rivergate, we have been alarmed by the amount of noise transmitting from the church through our neighborhood. Sound travels through the air, so you don't have to be located directly next to the church to hear the noise. I was raised in a church family and fully support the freedoms for a church to support its religious activities in a responsible manner. Hope Church, however, has shown a blatant disregard for the surrounding community and a level of disrespect to our homeowners that I've never experienced in my adult life. Twice in the past month alone, I've recorded loud music on my phone. This from our backyard. So we've got our backyard, our house, the road, our neighbors' homes, and these barriers that are supposed to keep that noise away. And number 14 up there, amplified music, I think we hear it here. So that was recorded, there was shouting through loudspeakers, air horns, which you've heard now, loud screaming. The music, by the way, is not church music. It is, you'd hear it at a nightclub, loud thumping bass, and it's music 103.7, tune in to the popular pop culture music. I'm not against music, but I enjoy music that I like. The nuisances were observed from my backyard, which is across the street. So I imagine the homes directly bordering the church had their windows shaking. Apparently, some of those homes did have their windows shaking. In my opinion, the church is more of an event space than a church. The events they're holding in their parking lots. So this restaurant may be serving inside, but it may be serving inside while there's events outside it's supporting. So 75 limit, they can count the 1,000 people in the parking lot and say there's only 60 inside and that they're still within compliance. I'm aware that the Goochland Sheriff has been called out at least two of those documented events because one of them, I called them. And I'm going to continue to call them when the noises are too much to bear.
Time.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dan Mortensen, and I live at 13286 Barkstone Court in Rivergate. I serve as the president of the Rivergate Community Association, and my remarks tonight reflect the position of the Rivergate Board of Directors. Rivergate is an association of 67 property owners located just east of Hope Church, and our neighborhood shares a 2,207-foot property line with Hope Church. You've heard tonight from a number of our residents. Their families and many other families in Rivergate are already directly affected by activities at Hope Church, most notably by noise, lights, parking lot traffic, and even loud conversations at times, none of which was expected when a house of worship was proposed and approved for this property. Our development, Rivergate, was envisioned as a quiet development with wooded surroundings, and a church seemed to be a good addition for the property to our west. At that time, we envisioned a church in the more traditional sense and fully expected it to be a good neighbor. But as you've heard this evening, that's not what we have experienced. While clearly not happy with the frequent intrusions into our quiet community, we're now alarmed by and very much opposed to any expansion of the activities at Hope Church that would increase the noise, traffic, and lights for 15 hours a day. Along with the Hope Thrift Store, located just east on Patterson Avenue, the proposed cafe would be another commercial venture for Hope Church with operating hours exceeding those of Hope Thrift. Yet Hope Church is proposing to locate the cafe in the church building, not in a traditional, easily acceptable business location like Hope Thrift. It would increase the use not only of the church building, but also the parking lots and other outdoor spaces, thereby exacerbating the situation with respect to noise, increased traffic, possible signage, increased lighting and sanitation. You've heard from a number of Rivergate residents who have expressed concerns about the proposed cafe while citing issues that they are already experienced with existing church functions. Our residents have also noted that most of their prior complaints about current issues have been largely ignored over the years, so they are understandably discounting any assurances provided by Hope Church. The Rivergate Board does not accept the Hope Church, does not object to Hope Church operating a public cafe in a business location such as Hope Thrift, but it strongly objects to a cafe on church property. We ask that you consider these matters and the position of the Rivergate Board and community and deny the application for the amendments to the conditional use permit. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? We now close the public hearings portion.
I agree with many of the concerns of the citizens. I've personally supported Hope Thrift. I don't see that I could make a recommendation on the intent or the heart of what has been provided by the applicant. And obviously, there's a great deal of opposition from the neighborhood, and with so many unknowns based on the intent, I don't see how we could recommend approval in this capacity, especially at the church.
Tom, the original conditional use permit was in 2006.
Yes.
Was that for 5 years, 10 years? Do you know when that is up?
That falls into the category when an application involves a substantial investment, uh-huh. like a new building. Oftentimes, there is not an expiration date on it. So there's not an expiration date.
Because there's nothing in here about music in the original
conditional
use permit.
Correct.
This new one has basically the same restriction for music that we've applied all the way through the county for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yes, we have applied that one for that. That is language borrowed from previous applications.
So the music complaint that they have would essentially go away under this if we approve this conditional use permit.
I would qualify that by saying that this condition would only apply to restaurant activities. It would not
apply all day long, every day.
It would not apply to church activities.
But if they're going to operate it every day from 6 to 9 p.m., how do we distinguish whether they're using the serving sandwiches or cookies versus the other activities is all coming out of the same kitchen?
The only thing I can offer to you, Mr. Rockchild, is if there's a noise complaint and we determine that's related to the church, this condition would not be applicable.
Because I know the police department has said before that they're not going to enforce a lot of noise in the same way with the lighting. The lighting restriction that we have today is much tougher than it was in 2006.
Correct. We have a lighting ordinance.
So that would go away. I mean, you say it only applies to the restaurant uses, but
you can't separate
it from the church activities on a day-to-day basis.
Approving this would not change the way it's being done now.
Correct.
Right.
It's on top of.
Right. I have more issues.
Which means they can't serve coffee and cookies out of the restaurant if they got playing music outside, because that constitutes them falling under this restaurant. I think the problem is it's an overlapping situation, and you got restrictions on part of the building and restrictions on other part, but you can't really separate.
That is a challenge, and that was one that we considered in trying to craft these conditions for the commission and trying to weigh the existing use in as opposed to the new restaurant activity that's being proposed.
I'm a little taken back, but that neighbors actually have to record noise to prove that it exists before this. So currently, they're not operating according to the restrictions now.
They actually are, is what you're saying.
They are. The current church operation does not have any of the noise limitations that the commission often sees with wedding venues and things like that. Those are not a part of the current CUP. And they're not proposed.
The CUP didn't include any restrictions on lighting and noise. So the way they're operating now,
they're in compliance.
They're okay.
By changing this, it doesn't make them non-compliant with church activities
only it would change the way that the restaurant would be used. So it's not
correct.
It would be hard to distinguish between the two when any event was going on. If both correct. Were operating, you could it could certainly get muddled.
Well, if I come out there and order some coffee and cookies at 8:30 at night, and they got a rock and roll band playing outside, they're violating the ordinance the way because they're engaging in this activity. Right?
I mean,
you can't have it both ways. Either have your cookies or cake, eat it or not eat it. You know. I mean, I understand it's a difficult situation. Mm-hmm.
The way this is worded, we're not controlling today's noise by approving this.
Not if it's related to the church.
Right.
Can we change this to make the noise and lighting standard apply?
Yes. With this application, it's a amendment to the existing CUP. So that the staff offered some housekeeping changes, but that condition can be amended. Yes, sir.
But that's not what we're voting on now. That could be added, but
that's at the discretion of the commission.
Right.
Yes.
So we could add that as a special condition.
Yeah.
To the existing.
Yeah, I don't think with the information that we have now, and just with the intent that's based, on the applicant's, the application, I don't think that we could form something and make a recommendation.
It's not really up to us to write no. this. It's up to them to present something that we can pass. We can suggest tweaks, but it's not.
Yeah.
As presented, I don't feel that it builds goodwill with the neighbors.
I agree.
And provides a benefit to the county.
I kind of hate hamstringing a church.
Yeah. It's funny.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion that recommend denial as proposed.
I'll second.
So we have it's been motioned and properly seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor of denial?
Say aye.
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 All opposed? The ayes have. Ms. Parker, do we have any old business?
No old business, no other business.
Do you have a motion for adjournment?
So motion.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.